Paul Tonko, thanks for being with us. It's great to see you here, and we thank you for all you're doing on the 20th District. You've been serving your seventh term in Congress. Has the gridlock and partisan warfare ever been this bad?
No, it seems to have accelerated each and every term. And, you know, I think there has to be this process that begins that brings forces together. You know, the differences in government are not only helpful, they're essential, so that we can have the best compromise, the best consensus that is developed so that we move forward with, you know, strengthening our country. And I think, you know, the fact that there's a difference out there being used to create, a gap in interaction is hurtful, certainly not helpful. And that we have to work at it. And I think that there will be a tone established in this administration that will not pit and divide us, but rather bring us together. And I think that that can happen just by actions and by reaching out to incorporate the greatest number of us into what should be bipartisan, bicameral discussion.
Hey, Paul Tonko, you know as well as I do that when a president wins office, the other party tends to do a lot better in the congressional elections. So 2 years from now, you've lost seats this time. What about the next time?
Well, I think that what we're going to see over the first 2 years of this administration will be a noticeable improvement in tone and in temperament and in universality. I think that I think more people will feel engaged. I think there will be a tone established that may defy those odds that you just shared in your question and enable us to go forward and reward that sort of progress in a way that will break from the tradition.
I take it you would prefer not to see that happen. In other words,
yeah, of course, it would be better for, I would enjoy the fact that we would perhaps be able to grow seats. But more importantly, the time has come for us to come together. And I think that what's happened here over the course of time is such a divide. And this President Trump has just, you know, through his 4 years had used situations to further divide, all to, you know, just serve his self-interest. And I think that, you know, that has enlightened a lot of people, has enabled a lot of people to see it for what it is. And I think we're going to see more and more of that sensibility coming to individuals out there across the country. And, you know, there's so much work to be done here that we don't have time for the pettiness and for the divide. We have precious little time. We need to really ramp up with our COVID response, and we have to really move forward. Already, he's talking, the president-elect is, or President Biden is talking about a plan that will engage us in additional COVID response.
You know, what about, speaking of COVID response, I'm glad you brought it up, what about the $900 billion COVID relief package that was finally passed by the Congress? But it didn't include state and local payments.
Right.
Local officials in New York 20 say they're in danger of making massive cuts without it.
Right.
So you got another package?
Well, yeah, I think that will be prime in the next package. We tried every which way to convince Mitch McConnell, Majority Leader McConnell, in the U.S. Senate, and just was recalcitrant, saw it as a bailout. This was not about misappropriation, mismanagement. It was about loss of revenues, precipitous loss, through no fault of their own, through a virus that found a lot of impact on the economy, which certainly ripples into the drain of the revenues for local governments and state governments. So it is fundamentally fair and just to make that a high priority. We're going to continue to fight in that regard. I will remind your listeners that with the HEROES Act, which we passed in May, 7 months before we were able to convince the Senate to take action, that we did include a very robust plan a very generous plan for local governments. These are essential workers many times. These essential workers are managing our water treatment facilities. They're sanitation workers. They're picking up the garbage that keeps us as a community functioning. They're essential workers that provide for public safety, our police forces, our firefighters. These are individuals who are essential. And if we were not to fund this, not only do we lose those or diminish those services, but we grow the ranks of the unemployed, which makes no sense because it becomes more expensive for the federal response because we're going to have to make certain that there's a further extension of unemployment because you're going to have numbers swelling in that regard. So for many, many reasons, that should have been the top priority for our final package that was finally addressed, but it was too little, too late. There was a lot of good in there. There was some local effort that we had been pushing for our local hospitals that should have been recognized, but the fight isn't over. We need to make certain that we have a strategic plan for testing and tracing and vaccinating and making certain that we crush this virus.
The one thing I've been thinking about a lot, Paul Tonko, is the Attorney General's job. We know how crucial that can be, and we know there's going to be an awful lot left over from the Trump administration that's going to have to be looked at by a tough guy or a tough woman. What, in fact, are you thinking about that? Surely, when you talk to your friends about this, you have some ideas.
Well, you know, there have been a number of names that have been addressed for that appointment. You know, we'll see. I think President Biden, President-elect Biden had, through his early transitioning team, made great appointments. I'm thrilled about the efforts he's made for the climate leadership team, the climate and environmental leadership team. You know, I think folks like Gina McCarthy and my colleague, Congresswoman Deb Haaland and John Kerry and Jennifer Granholm are all going to be great additions to that team and look forward to working with them. And I think the same will be true with the Attorney General. He has shown that this cabinet is going to look like America. I think he will have very professional responses for all of these leadership posts. And you're right, it carries a lot of responsibility with it as a post. And, you know, the names have been out there, and I think he's got a great field from which to choose.
There's a lot of talk that Trump will be prosecuted, not by the federal government, but by the authorities in New York State and New York City. Do you think we should just let it all go, or do you think it's appropriate if he's committed any kind of fraud or wrongdoing that he should be held responsible?
Well, you know, I said on another show, actions have consequences. And I think perhaps one of the reasons that the president is not accepting these results and fighting so hard to turn around the efforts by taking it to Congress and taking it to the state governments and to the secretaries of state across the country. One of the reasons he's fought so hard, I believe, is that he knows that there might be extreme consequences that lie ahead. You know, just the fact that you're able to act so unethically and have it evidenced on tape tells us, like, you know, just raises the question, how many of these kinds of calls had been made over the 4 years to various authorities that have the power to address, you know, our quality of government? So it's a really serious concern. And I think that what we have here are a number of people imagining that there could be some very drastic consequences for unethical behavior over a course of many years.
Just let me put a cap on that. So, yes or no question, if it is found out that he's committed crimes, should he go to jail?
Well, you know, I'll let the authorities that are given that responsibility make their decision. But I think that everything and anything should be up for discussion based, again, on the severity of those crimes and the hurt that it might have caused, or the diminution of our democracy that it might have inspired. And I think that, you know, that we have a system of laws that are applied. No one should be above those laws. And if your actions call for severe application of the law, so be it.
Well, Paul Tonko, I wish we could spend a little bit more time with you. You are so direct, and I appreciate it a great deal. And when your time comes around, be sure to pick up that telephone. Great to talk to you, Paul.
The Tonk is always happy to be with you.
The Tonk and the Talk. Thanks so much.
Okay, take care.